Bibles with you? Praise the Lord. Always bring your Bible to church. Amen. Say this after me. This is my Bible. Inspired and living Word of God. Given to all men for all ages. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. And I can do what it says I can do. As I'm taught the Word of God, I boldly declare, I have eyes to see, I have ears to hear, and my heart is open and receptive to the truth of God's Word. And I'll not only be a hearer, but I'll be a doer. I'll be a doer. I'll be a doer of the Word of God. And I, as I do, I know I will be blessed. Amen, amen. Hallelujah. We'll open this morning to Romans 8, and we're going to look at verse 14. Romans 8, 14. We've looked at it for several weeks in a row now. One of our base text scriptures, if you will. Say amen when you're there. I'm behind here. There we go. Amen. Hallelujah. Out of the Amplified, he says this. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. Praise God. Now, we've talked quite extensively about this, and so if you've missed any of it, again, I would encourage you to go back to the website, download the messages for free, listen to them again. But that word led there is the Greek word ago, and it basically means to be driven and controlled by. So he's saying that all who are led and driven and controlled by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Amen? So to be considered a son of God, can you just get born again? Can you just go to church? Can you sing in the choir? Can you serve in the children's wing? All those are good. But no, to be considered a son of God, it says you have to be led and driven and controlled by His Spirit. When that happens in your life, now you've become a son of God. Amen? See, I keep coming back to this scripture because this thing is critical that we not just be filled with the Spirit, but that we be led by the Spirit. Amen? Say, led by the Spirit. Hold on a minute. Let me get my coat back on. Let's continue. Hallelujah. See, we keep coming back to this scripture because it's critical that we not just be filled, but we need to be led by the Lord. See, many people are filled in the church. Few are led. That's the problem. So how are we led? Look at verse 16. He tells us how. He says, the Spirit Himself thus testifies together with our own spirit, assuring us that we are the children of God. So if we're assured that we're children of God, that means we are being led and controlled and driven, how? By the Holy Spirit. Amen? See, not in our flesh, not in your soul and your mind, your reasoning, your emotions, but in our spirits. Everyone say this, we're not led in our flesh, we're not led in our minds, but we're led in our spirits. You are a three-part being, right? A spirit, a soul, and a body. Let's look at it and go back over to it. Paul talks about it in 1 Thessalonians 5 and 23. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23. Hallelujah. We are believing God for some upgrades in our sound system. We need a new projector for the back row, and God will supply. Amen. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23 says this, and may the God of peace himself sanctify you through and through, separate you from profane things, make you pure and wholly consecrated to God, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved, sound and complete, and found blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Hallelujah. So what we found out that God doesn't live in our bodies, amen? God doesn't live in our mind, our will, our emotions, our intellect. Where does he live? God lives in our spirit, amen? So it's important to get a hold of this. The reason it's important to get a hold of this is you have to understand all three parts have eyes, have ears, and have voices. You know what I'm talking about? The voice of the body, what do we call the voice of the body? We call it feelings. Well, I don't feel like going to church today. Is that God? Obviously not. But what are we listening to? We're listening to our flesh. Amen? What are we obeying? Our flesh. Feelings, if you're going by your feelings, that is not an accurate way to follow the Spirit. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Now, the voice of the mind we call reason. And if you are one of those people that always likes to reason everything out, guess what? Most times you're not being led by the Spirit of God because God doesn't lead us in our reasoning, does not lead us in our intellect, in our emotions, in our mind. He leads us in our spirit. All right? So we need to listen to the voice of our spirit. And the voice of our spirit is what we call conscience. How many know what I'm talking about? Conscience, the voice of the Spirit. Not through our flesh, not through our mind. It comes from deep within us, that still, small voice. Many of us call it that gut feeling. I have this gut feeling. Well, most likely that's the leading of the Holy Spirit. But how many times do we actually follow that gut leading? I know there's many times when I've had it and I haven't, and it's ended up bad. And so I've learned to look inside before I make that final decision. Amen? So when you got born again, your spirit was created brand new, but the problem is your mind was not. That's why the mind has to be renewed. Can I hear an amen? That's why Paul said after you get born again, work out your salvation. Walk out your salvation. Why? Because your mind needs to be renewed, right? How do you renew it? With the Word of God. Amen? See, the reason that the voice of our flesh is so loud, the reason that the voice of our mind is so loud is that they've been with you all your life since you were physically born. Amen. How many know what I'm talking about? So the voice of your spirit is a still small voice. Why is it still and small? Because, you know, you didn't get born again until whenever that was, how many years after you were physically born, right? But all those years prior to that time that you got born again, you've been listening to the voice of your flesh. You've been listening to the voice of your mind and intellect and your emotions and your reasonings, and you've made all your decisions based on those things versus making your decisions being led by the Spirit of God. Amen? So we have to understand that the spirit man is always smaller than the other two until you begin to build him up, to renew your mind with the Word of God. Amen? That's why daily Bible reading is absolutely critical to your success. Say critical. Because we need to be led, how many, just on Sundays? No, every day. We need to be led not by our flesh, not by our mind, not by our will and emotions, but we need to be led by the Spirit of God. Amen? So therefore, God speaks to me where? In my spirit, right? So if I want to be led, I have to be led by my spirit. So the question is, how do you build your spirit man? Well, you build your spirit man by the Word of God. Amen? If you're going to grow up in the spirit, what do you have to do? You have to feed your spirit spirit food. Did your body grow up? It's not a trick question. How did it grow up? You fed it three meals a day. Some of you more. Right? But your spirit is the same way. It needs to be fed on a regular basis. The problem with most Christians is they feed their spirit for maybe an hour and a half on Sunday, and then they feed their body and their flesh and their mind and their will and emotions the rest of the week and wonder why all the promises of God aren't coming to pass for them. I wonder why. That's because your spirit is so small and so tiny, it can't lead you. You can't be led by your spirit, right? I mean, we love to feed our flesh. We love to feed our minds. But the only real difference maker, I should say it this way, the only real difference maker in a person's life is when they make the decision. See, it's a decision you have to make. Make the decision to build their spirit man by feeding him spirit food every day. Amen? And that's wherein lies the problem. We feed our flesh three times a day, and maybe we feed our spirit weekly. Hallelujah. I hope that's not you. Amen? Look at your neighbor and say, I hope he's not talking about you. But see, the reason is if you only feed your spirit once a week, it will never grow to the same level as your flesh or your mind because it's not getting the nutrients it needs to overtake the soul and the body. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Amen. So the first thing we must know is that we must feed our spirit man so that our spirit man grows faster than our physical man. Amen? And the reason that this is so important is what I've already said before. All success in your life comes from your spirit. Amen? Every success you'll ever enjoy comes out of your spirit. That's why we are inside out people. Amen? Where's the kingdom of God? On the inside. Amen? Hallelujah. See, it's in the spirit that you receive everything that God has for you. You want to walk in health? You want to walk in wealth? You want to walk in peace? You want to walk in safety? You want to walk in protection? You want to walk in success? You want to be an overcomer in Jesus? You want to be always victorious in Him? Well, guess what? It always comes from the spirit, not the mind, the will, the emotions, or your body. So it makes sense for us to feed our spirits at least as much, if not more, than we feed our bodies. Can I hear an amen? And what is it? What feeds your spirit? The Word of God. So what do you got to do? You got to get yourself some tapes. Get my tapes. Get somebody else's tapes. I don't care whose tapes you get, but get some tapes and start listening to the Word every day. Turn your car into a traveling university. Everywhere you go, put the Word on. Listen to the Word. Listen to the Word. Listen to the Word. Listen to the Word. Turn that thing into a Word university. Get the Word in your ear. Why do we want to get the Word in our ear? Because your ear. Put your hand in your ear. Say, my ear is the gateway to my spirit. Your ear becomes the faith gate. Your ear becomes the gateway to your spirit. So you have to make it a priority to feed it food. And the way you feed it food is by listening to the Word of God. Amen? Now, if you have the world entering into your ears, what do you think is happening? See, we're talking about faith that cannot fail. This is the series that we're on. If you're listening to the world all the time, what do you think that the things that are entering into your ear and going into your spirit are doing to your faith? They're destroying your faith.
Amen?
Amen? Hallelujah. But if it's the Word that's entering your ears, then what's happening? It's building your faith. Amen? So the question becomes this morning, and it's kind of a rhetorical question, but one we all need to ask ourselves, what am I allowing to come in to my ears? See, that's one reason, and I've shared this before, on the music level. Music is huge. Do you ever wonder why the music industry is so big and so powerful? Because everything that enters into your ear gates affects your life. And so, of course, the enemy wants everything but the Word of God and faith to enter in. That's why I just don't listen to secular music. I just don't. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm not saying it's a sin. I just can't allow that kind of stuff in my life because I know what it does to my faith. If you're a, I was a big rocker in the 70s. I mean, I got boxes full of rock and roll records. Black Sabbath. Jeff Fenhold. How many know who Jeff Fenhold is? He's a friend of mine. He was the lead singer. Great born-again Christian now. Lives just over here in Grand Junction. Not far from the kids. But we just don't listen to that stuff. You know, TV, you know. We have to be very, very particular on what we watch. Why? Entering in your faith gate. What are you allowing in? Death, doubt, and unbelief? Or faith? See, it's only doing one of the two. There's no choice. There's no in-between. Okay? So I'm not trying to put you into bondage today. I'm not trying to get you feeling guilty or whatever. I want you to look at your life and say, ask yourself, what am I allowing in my ears? Because your ear is your faith gate. Amen? And the reason that's so important is because people do not understand that their future comes out of their spirit. Your entire future that God has planned for you can only come from inside out, from out of your spirit. Amen? So there's only two options. And you can be in the permissive will of God, or you can be in what we'd call the perfect will of God. What is the permissive will of God? The permissive will of God is struggle after struggle after struggle after struggle after struggle. No victory in your life. That's the permissive will of God. Hallelujah. So if I know that everything in my life, if I'm going to enjoy success, has to come out of my spirit, then it makes sense for me this morning to feed my spirit every single day. Is that right? The feeding of my spirit, the feeding of your spirit, watch this, should be the number one priority over anything else in the world. Number one, feeding your spirit. Why? Because your success comes from it. Every promise comes out of that. Amen? Let me tell you, I'm speaking from experience today. I'm trying to save you a bunch of years of toil and struggle, a bunch of years of, you know, just heartache and misery, because I've done the worldly thing. I tried it. It does not work. Amen? Hallelujah. So I don't want you to ever have to see what I've seen in my life. I'm trying to give you, some of you guys, especially the young, a shortcut here. Amen? Because this thing works. The word works if you work the word every time. Amen? Now, I've said this every week that we've been on this thing, and it's worth saying again, because we have to get this deep down on the inside of us. Spirit is who you are. Faith is what you can accomplish. Spirit is the real you, but faith is the God potential on the inside of you. Amen? Spirit is the real you, but faith is the measure of your growth in the Spirit. Amen? Because it's the Word that causes your spirit to grow. Amen? So if you'll focus on feeding your spirit, man, you'll be able to accomplish a whole lot more in this life than you ever dreamed of. Come on, somebody. Because God came to live on the inside of you. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. David, find the video of the stool in there. That just came to my, I think it's in the background. I'm going to play that in a minute. God came to live on the inside of you, but he didn't come to just be an equal partner. What did he do? He came to take over. He came to rule and reign, to lead you and guide you, to drive you. Led, driven, and controlled by the Spirit of God. So we're going to show you this little video clip. Some of you have seen it before. But every time I see it, it so encourages me, because it's such a great depiction of the struggle that we go through every single moment of every single day. Do you have it queued up? Go ahead and play that video. Let's get the lights down.
To give you this.
Oops, really?
Start that over so you're sure.
Whoever sits here makes all the decisions.
Jesus, I have decided to give you this.
Really?
Yeah.
You know whoever sits here makes all the decisions, right?
I know, and I'm always making decisions, but you make the perfect decisions, so you just sit right down and start making them.
Wow, I'm honored. I mean, this feels great.
Kathleen, guess what? I just got my new credit card. It's time to go shopping.
Oh, really? I thought your husband and you were going to pay off debt.
Oh, yeah. I mean, money's kind of tight, but I figured he doesn't have to know about it. So do you want to go with me?
No.
No?
Why?
What I mean is, I don't know. So let me check my schedule, and then I'll get back to you.
Okay, yeah, give me a call.
Okay.
Kat, what's going on?
What do you mean?
Well, I'm kind of one-cheeking it here. Look, I just want to make sure we're on the same page. You wanted me to sit here, right?
Well, of course.
And whoever sits here makes all the decisions?
Right.
So what's the problem?
There's not a problem. I don't know what I was thinking. Really, please, here, sit down.
As long as you're sure.
I'm sure.
Okay. So let's start over.
Okay.
All right. Kat, I noticed that you've been losing your temper a lot lately.
Right. So, okay, Jesus, you know what? I know what you're going to say, but, see,
you
don't know the whole situation, you know?
Oh. Well, all I'm saying is that your attitude is a decision.
Yes, of course, but I have a lot going on right now.
Well, I know you're under a lot of pressure.
Pressure? Jesus, you don't understand pressure, okay?
This isn't working, Kat.
What?
We can't both sit on the seat. It's either me or it's you.
Okay, I know. You know, I didn't think it was going to be this hard, but here, just take it.
No, I'm not going to take it. You have to give it to me.
Okay, here.
Kathleen, make a choice.
I can't.
You just did.
Say wow. That video, it just does something to my spirit every time I see it. I can't make a decision, Lord. You just did. See, that's the struggle that we have, is who's on the throne of your life? Are you making the decisions, or is God making the decisions? And to know what the decisions are that God's making, how are you going to know that? You're going to have to learn how to be led by the Spirit of God. That still small voice. Amen? Hallelujah. So it's all about being led by the Spirit of God. Amen? And as we're led by the Spirit of God, it's called faith. And we talked about faith. The Greek word is pistis. It means basically, P-I-S-T-I-S, firmly persuaded, firmly convinced. Amen? So that means I have to walk like I got it. I have to talk like I got it. And when I do, now I have believed, duh. And now I'm in faith. Amen? Hallelujah. Because faith has always been, as we said the last 3 or 4 weeks, faith is always past tense. Amen? So what's that mean? That means if you are believing for your healing, guess what? You're going to be believing for that healing for a long, long time. Because that's future tense. You're believing for something in the future. But faith is not future. Faith is not now. Faith is past tense. I have believed. Right? When you're believing for a healing, you're believing for a future event. That means you don't have it. Right? You have to believe, duh. If you don't believe, duh, that means you don't have faith. You have to believe that you were healed 2,000 years ago. Come on, somebody. And the problem is in the church that too many people are speaking before they have believed. And that's why the mountain is not moving. We're speaking to mountains of sickness. We're speaking to mountains of debt. We're speaking to things in our life that shouldn't be there, and nothing is happening. Because people are speaking too soon. They're crossing the bridge before they're ready to go over. Amen? Too many people are wishing and hoping, and nothing's changing for them. Why? Because they have not believed. Turn over to 2 Corinthians 4:13, one of our other base scriptures we've been using. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13. He says, "Yet we have the same spirit of faith as he had," who wrote, "I have believed," past tense, "and therefore have I spoken." We too believe, and that if you look up that word, you'll find in the Greek, it's past tense. We too believed, therefore we speak. See, the therefore is very important. What is therefore, therefore? I have believed, past tense, therefore now I speak. Do you see what I mean? That's why I said too many people are going across the bridge before they're ready to cross. They're speaking to mountains too soon. And if you speak too soon, the mountain won't move. And when the mountain won't move, it discourages you. You think the word of God is not true. You think the pastor's telling you a lie. You think the preacher doesn't know what he's talking about. When what's the real truth to the problem is you haven't believed. Amen. when you have believed, duh. Then when you speak, guess what? Faith is released. Why? Because I have believed, duh. Look at the scripture again. Yet we have the same spirit of faith as he had who wrote. I have believed, duh, and therefore have I spoken. We too believe, and therefore we speak. And when you speak, you release the faith that moves mountains. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Now, we spoke about two kinds of words a week back. We talked about confirming words versus commanding words. And I can't get into a whole lot of that today. Again, you need to go back and get the CDs. But what a commanding word is, a word that's full of faith. Okay? And this is why revelation of the word becomes so important in our lives. Because once you have revelation of the word, then things begin to change. We said that revelation always brings revolution. A revolution is a change. That's why getting a revelation of this word is so important to us. Once you have a revelation, now things are going to change. Guaranteed. Why? Because when you speak, those words are full of faith. And God watches over his word to perform it. Amen? Now when you speak to the mountain, it has to move. Why? Because the words you're speaking are releasing faith. Hallelujah. But the word has to become revelation. Once the word becomes revelation, now the word becomes a commanding word. You see, every word in this Bible is a confirming word. And you can read a confirming word after confirming word after confirming word after confirming word after confirming word, and nothing change. But one day, that confirming word drops in your heart and it explodes on the inside. And now you got revelation. Now when you speak that word, boom, faith is released. The mountain moves. Do you see the difference between a confirming word and a commanding word? Amen? See, we're really not in faith until the word becomes a finality in our lives. Hallelujah. How does it become a finality? Turn to Joshua 1, verse 8. Let's look at this. How do we make the word of God what we would call the last word on the subject, a finality in our life? Well, how does it become history in our life? Well, Joshua 1, 8, he tells us how. He tells us exactly how. Say amen when you're there. He says, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe and do according to all that is written in it. For then what? After you've meditated, after it has not departed from your mouth, you've meditated day and night, that you've observed and done everything it says, then you shall make your way prosperous, then you shall deal wisely and have good success. The word cannot depart out of where? Out of your mouth. But see, understand, nothing can depart from your mouth unless it's there. Right? That sounds, pretty simple, but it's really true. Nothing can ever depart from your mouth that's not there to begin with. Right? So whatever is in your mouth, we know, where did it come from? It came from your heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, or out of the spirit, what the mouth speaks, right? So if the word's not coming out of your mouth, that tells me the word is not in your heart. Right? Are you with me here? How does the word get in your heart? By hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing the word of God. By meditating day and night. Day and night. Day and night, and observing and doing according to all is written. Then you shall make your way prosperous, and you shall deal wisely and have good success. Where does success come from? Talked about in the offering time. From the inside out, right? So if all you're talking about is your problem, then all that's in your heart is your problem. Now, I know we don't like to hear that, but that's the truth. I've been there, done that, okay? I'm speaking from experience. Amen? So let's stop telling God how big our problem is. Why don't we start telling our problem how big our God is? Amen? Hallelujah. God created 400 billion galaxies, expanding at the rate of 186,000 miles per second. If he can do that, I think he can handle your problems. Come on, somebody. Let's stop telling our problem or God how big this problem is. Let's tell the problem how big our God is. Amen? So right here, Joshua tells us, look at it again, to meditate on the word day and night. Now, one of the definitions, when I first heard this, I didn't like it, but now that I have a better understanding, I really like it. One of the definitions of the word meditate is to mutter. Uh-huh. Mutter, 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 mutter. It means basically it's coming out your mouth all the time. Yeah. The word, the word, the word, the word. Mutter, mutter the word, mutter the word, mutter the word, mutter the word. Day and night, day and night, day and night. What are you? Muttering, 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 muttering. I'm speaking the word, I'm speaking the word, I'm speaking the word. Why is that so important? Because when you speak the word, your ear hears what you speak. And your ear is what? The gateway to your spirit. So when you're speaking, when you're muttering day and night, day and night, day and night, you're constantly listening. You're constantly putting faith in your ear and into your heart. Into your ear, into your heart. Into your ear, into your heart. And pretty soon, one day, you keep putting it in, all of a sudden, boom, I got it. It explodes. Now it's a revelation. Now when I speak, the mountain moves. That's how it works. See, you can listen to a myriad of things in the world, but the thing that goes into your heart the quickest is the one that you hear yourself say over and over and over again. The one that you have believed, duh, is the one that you'll speak. Really? Amen? But everything that comes into the ear gate, the one that you're going to believe, the one that you're going to relate to the easiest and the quickest is the words that you speak yourself. So it's great to listen to tape. It's great to listen to preaching. You need to do that. But you also need to listen to yourself. That's why he says, mutter, 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 day and night, day and night, day and night, mutter, 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 mutter. We must meditate. We must ponder. We must image. We must roar. We must speak. We must study. We must talk. Utter the word. When you do this, it expands your faith. It grows your faith. And your spirit begins to enlarge and to grow. And your spirit man now begins to look like Arnold Schwarzenegger on the inside instead of the outside. You know what I'm talking about? That big spirit man. When you do that, it expands your faith. It grows your faith. Faith comes how? By hearing. And hearing what? The word of God. So what do we have to do? I'm not trying to discourage you. I'm just trying to give you the mechanics of this thing today so that you don't get discouraged. So what I'm telling you today is do not speak to the mountain until the word becomes finality in your life. Do not speak to the mountain until the word becomes history. You understand what I'm saying? It's already done. When that happens, now you speak. Guess what? Mountain goes. See, hearing others' testimonies are great. We love testimonies in the church. They're part of it. They're important. Seeing people's victories, things that they've overcome. It's great. But here's what many do. They hear the testimony. They hear about their victory. They hear about the way they did it. So they go home and say, okay, if I do what that person did, then I can have what that person got. Wrong. Why? Revelation. The word hasn't become your revelation. Amen? How do I know this? I've done this myself. There was a man in the church, I want to say late 70s, early 80s, and he says, money, come to me now. How many know who I'm talking about? And so many people, church, start saying, money, come to me now. But see, they didn't realize that he'd meditated, he'd read, he'd looked at the scriptures and looked at the scriptures and looked at the scripture and provision till one day that thing exploded in his heart. And now when he says, money come, money comes. But the other person are trying to live on his testimony and do what he did, and nothing happens. Why? Because the word hasn't become a revelation in your life. It hasn't exploded on the inside. Amen? See, it has to become your revelation. It has to become your truth. It must become finality in your life. You cannot live on another man's revelation. You can't live on my revelation. I can't live on your revelation. You can't live on Pastor JoJo's revelation. It has to become yours. How do you know when it's yours? Ooh, you'll know because it explodes on the inside. Amen? Because, see, until it becomes a revelation, it can never become a revolution. What does revolution bring? It brings change. Are you hearing me? See, for too many years, the church as a whole has been trying to live on another man's revelation instead of their own. Having somebody do all the work. And so we just, you know, just confess this. Well, you're just one of those confess it and possess it. Blab it and grab it. Well, Jesus said that, right? But those words he spoke were words of revelation. Until those words become revelation, believe that you receive and you'll have it. You can say it till you get blue in the faith and nothing's going to happen. It has to become revelation. When it becomes your revelation, now a revolution begins in your life. Amen? The best analogy in the natural, I can say, you know, if I go out hunting and I take my gun or I take my bow, but I don't put any ammo in the gun, and I see a beautiful 6x6 bull elk right there, 200 yards, dead, you know, crossways to me. I got a heart shot on him. I pull the trigger. Click. Nothing happens. Why? No ammo. That's what people are doing. They're speaking the word, but there's no ammo. They speak the word. Click. Nothing happens. But if they make that word a finality in their life, meditate on it day and night, observe to do all as according to what's written, then they'll make their way prosper. Then they'll be successful. Now they see that buck at 200 yards. They put the scope on it. They pull the trigger. Kaboom! Now I've been successful. Do you see the difference? Hallelujah. But see, people are doing the same thing every day. They're speaking to mountains of sickness and debt, poverty, bondage, drug addiction, alcohol addiction, whatever it is, and nothing changes. Why? They're shooting duds. There's no ammo in their words. The word hasn't become a revelation for them. We teach confession. Confession is important. Confession is part of the word. Amen? But see, I'm teaching you today the mechanics of this thing. Do you understand what I'm saying? That what I'm saying is the words must become loaded before they're released. Then when you do, things begin to change. But until your words become faith-filled, they're simply empty containers. Amen? See, trying to live in another man's revelation will never work. I want to get healed. I want to get healed. I want to get healed. Okay, let me tell you how to do it. You got to find the scriptures. You got to write them down. You got to read them. You got to put your eyes on them. You got to put them in your eyes. Put them in your ears. Meditate on it. Mutter it. Speak it. Continue to pray about it. Speak it. Look at it every single day, 3 and 4 times a day. Keep doing it. Keep doing it. Keep doing it. Then one day, I don't know which scripture, but one of those scriptures all of a sudden will become alive on the inside of you. One day you'll see, oh, he carried my sicknesses and my sorrows. That thing explodes in you. If he carried my sicknesses, he carried my sorrows, then why should I be carrying it? See, I'm told you, I'm used to not being tethered like that. Hallelujah. One of those scriptures will explode on the inside. And once that happens, instead, now watch this. Once that healing scripture explodes on the inside of you, now you're not the sick trying to get healed. You're the healed trying, telling sickness, get off my body and go. Do you see the difference? Yeah, just flick it off. Just flick that thing off. You have no right. Take your hands off God's property. I was healed by his stripes 2,000 years ago. You have no right. You have no authority in this body. Go now. Do you see the difference? Once it explodes on the inside, now it explodes on the outside. But it has to manifest on the inside before it can manifest on the outside. Are you with me? If you're believing for healing and it hasn't manifested on the inside, it will never manifest on the outside. Never. How do we make it manifest on the inside? Meditate day and night. Night and day. Breakfast, lunch, dinner. Look at the word. He says, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe and do according to all that is written in it. For then you shall make your way prosperous. Then you shall deal wisely and have good success. Where does all success come from? Your spirit. Your spirit. Folks, this is the mechanics of this thing. See, I know we're all supposed to be walk in divine health and divine healing and prosperity, but teach me how. How do I do that? I'm supposed to be out of debt, but teach me how. I'm supposed to be an overcomer. Teach me how. I can do all things through Christ. Teach me how. He always causes me to triumph. Teach me how. This is how you do it. This is the difference between a confirming word and a commanding word. See, confirming words are words you must speak every day. You must mutter them. You must meditate on them. You must speak them. Get them in your mind. Visualize them. Every minute of every hour of every day until it becomes a revelation. Then it becomes a commanding word. Now you have revelation. Now you can speak. And the mountain has to move. Praise God. Go to Romans 10, please. Romans 10, verse 17. I'm going to share with you a new revelation of this scripture. I know you all know this scripture, but I'm going to give you some revelation today. Amen? What's revelation going to bring? Revolution in your life. Amen? See, he says, so faith, the Greek word pistis, P-I-S-T, firmly persuaded, firmly convinced, so faith comes by hearing what is told. And what is heard comes by the preaching of the message that came from the lips of Christ, the Messiah himself. Now, understand that every belief system that you have in your life, no matter what it is, came by what you've heard. Every belief system. Okay? So again, we have to be careful what we're hearing. Amen? So our challenge today is to take the wrong stuff out and put the right stuff in by hearing the word. Amen? But let's break this down for a moment. First, look at it again. He says, faith comes by hearing. Amen? So everything that you've heard from the time that you were born physically to the time you were born again and after that time has established a belief system inside you. Are you with me? Okay. But when you gave your life to Christ and began to hear the word, then your belief systems began to change. Why? Because you began hearing something different. You heard that I don't have to be poor no more. I don't have to be sick no more. I don't have to be in bondage no more. But see, you'd never heard that prior to being born again. So what he's saying here is that your belief systems are established by what you hear. Okay, I'm breaking this thing down. Your belief systems are established by what you hear. Okay, so now I want you to hear the word of God and establish a new system. So that's what he's saying. That so faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen? Your spirit man grows by hearing the word, and faith becomes what the word will do when it gets inside you. Let me say that again. Your spirit man grows by hearing the word, and faith becomes what the word will do when it gets inside you. Hallelujah. Turn over to John 15, verse 7. Chapter 15, verse 7, please. It starts out with this little word, if. What kind of word is if? A what? It's a conditional word, right? Every time you see this word if, means you have to do something. So he says, if you live in me, abide vitally united to me, and my words remain in you and continue to live in your hearts, then what? Ask whatever you will, and it shall be done for you. Where did these words that Jesus spoke come from? Are these the words of Jesus? The words of the Father. Then he's saying that what God is saying is if his words, that the words of God live in you, then what? He's saying at some point this word has to become settled in your belief system to the point of finality. Until the word comes to rest in finality inside you, you can't read the rest of this verse. If you live in me and my words remain, the only way those words are going to remain is if they have become finality. Do you see what I'm saying? Until they become finality, you can't read the rest of the verse. You can read it, but you don't understand what I'm saying. You can't make that a part of your life. Because then you can ask and ask and ask, but it won't be done for you. Why? The word has not become finality. The word has to take up residence in your heart or in your spirit. The word has to build a house on the inside. Instead of passing through, it builds a house. It builds a home. Now Jesus is sitting on the throne. You're on the side, like the video we saw. Amen? When it becomes revelation, now it means it's past tense. And what do we know about faith? Faith is always past tense. Now I have believed. See, every promise that you find in this Bible, when you first found it, it may have seemed like future tense. How many know what I'm talking about? Every promise for me, wow, you mean I can have that? Ooh, you mean I can do that? Oh, I can have that? Ooh, I can do this? But they all seem future tense. But do you understand in the sight of God? They're already past tense. As far as he's concerned, it's already past tense. Right? God is not going to save you. He's already saved you. Right? He's not going to heal you. You were healed 2,000 years ago. God's not going to prosper you. He's already made you wealthy when he became poor. See, it's this belief system that we've established that we have to change. We have to get out the old junk. Get all the junk out of the trunk and put the new stuff in. But see, our challenge is, especially for those of us that got born again at a later age, we had X number of years from the time that we were born to the time that we were born again of establishing a belief system based on the world, which doesn't work. Now, our challenge is from this point forward, we have to get off all of the stuff that we've learned for 20 or 30 or 40 or 50 years and put in the new stuff and establish a new belief system based on the Word. Amen? See, we have to understand, you and I have already been redeemed from the curse, right? Galatians 3. We've been redeemed from the curse. We've been redeemed to the blessing of Abraham. So that tells me that everything that God wants to do in my life is already done. I have to learn how to receive it by faith. And faith is past tense. Amen? Every promise of God is past tense. That's why the Bible says all of the promises of God are yes and amen. Why? They're already done. He doesn't have to think about it. God, can I have the, can I get this? Can I get out of debt? Oh, let me think about that, son. I'll be right back to you. Oh, yeah, maybe. No. It's already done. That's why his answer is yes and amen. It's already done. Say already done. In your eyes, it may be future tense, but in God's eyes, it's past tense. It's already done. It's already finished. So if you want to receive it, you have to receive it the way it is. What's the way it is? It's already done. It's past tense. I believed. Go to Mark 11, 22. Mark 11, verse 22. Who's speaking here? Jesus is speaking. And Jesus replying said to them, have faith in God constantly. Does anybody have a translation that says anything different than have faith in God? Anybody? Nobody here. Anybody have a side marker that says have the faith of God? Doesn't it say that in an Amplified? Who has an Amplified Bible? Doesn't have a little sidebar? Mine does right here. I have the Amplified. Oh, I'm sorry. Maybe it's the King James. It says, have the faith of God. See, here's a good reason that you really need to look these things up in the Greek and the Hebrew. In the Greek, it says, have the God kind of faith. Is there really a difference between having faith in God and having the God kind of faith? Oh, they are worlds apart. Light years of difference. When you say, I have faith in God, I'm saying that I believe that he's God. I believe that he exists. I believe that he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Wonderful. But what does that do for me? The Bible says that even the demons believe and shudder. What good does that do for them to believe in God? So having faith in God is not what Jesus is saying here. Do you see what I'm saying? When you say, have the God kind of faith, not faith in God, that says whatever way that God operates is the way that I am supposed to operate as well. Have the God kind of faith. He's saying, here, have it. Take it. Receive it. It's yours. He's not saying, have faith in God. That doesn't work. Have the God kind of faith. In other words, the same way that God operates, same way you are supposed to operate. He's not threatened by that. How does God operate? He believed it. He spoke it. It showed up. That's how he works. How are you supposed to work? You're supposed to believe it. You're supposed to speak it. And it'll show up. Have the God kind of faith. Amen? This is how you appropriate every promise of God, by operating in the God kind of faith. What is the God kind of faith? He believed, duh, he spoke, it happened. He believed, he spoke, it happened. He believed, he spoke, it happened. Have the God kind of faith. That excites me. I don't know about you. I mean, I can go home a happy camper right now. Now, this story in Mark 11, so many people think that the whole point of chapter 11 is about speaking to a mountain. But that's not what the chapter is about. The whole chapter is really about a little fig tree. And you know, most of you know the story. Jesus and his disciples are walking by. Jesus is hungry. Now he goes over to the fig tree. It doesn't have any figs. And people say, well, you know, Jesus didn't know whether it had fig trees or not. Are you kidding me? How many years had he lived in that land? 33 years. Do you not think that he knew when a fig tree was supposed to have figs on it? Come on. Sometimes we get saved and we go stupid. He knew. Now, it wasn't, if you read the account, that those fig trees in the spring, they produce a little fig. Not the big figs that in the fall, but it does produce figs. When the leaves appear, there are supposed to be figs on the tree. Jesus knew that. He lived there 33 years. He had a whole bunch of fig trees that he'd ate of since the time he was born again to 33 years old. He goes over the fig tree to eat. There's no figs. So he curses the fig tree. He speaks to the fig tree, curses it, and walks away with no apparent change. Is that right? But in the morning, say in the morning, the tree is dried up from the roots. So something happened overnight. Would you say that's correct? From the time that he spoke to the next morning, something happened. Amen? Now, the words that Jesus spoke, was he speaking the words of God to a tree? Yes. He was speaking God's word to that tree. Amen? After he spoke and you looked at the tree, was there anything noticeably different about the tree? Not a single thing. Right? When did they notice the difference? The next morning. What does that tell us today? That tells me that there is a time frame between your amen and there it is. Do you see what I'm saying? Nothing in the natural changed when Jesus spoke to the fig tree. You speak to a mountain using faith-filled words, nothing apparent changes. Are you with me? Okay. Was Jesus operating in the God kind of faith? Yes, he was. And he's just told you and I to have the God kind of faith as well, right? What kind of faith was that? Jesus believed, he spoke, it happened. Are you with me? Why, when the disciples walked by the fig tree the next day, why were they so amazed? They were amazed. Because Jesus believed what he spoke, but the disciples only believed what they saw. And see, when you read this account in Mark 11, you see three things. The tree died. Peter gets excited. Jesus gets disappointed. Peter, 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 when are you going to stop being moved by what you see? When are you going to stop being moved by what you see and start being moved by what you believed? If you're being moved by what you see, you are not operating in the God kind of faith. Amen? This tells me for our own lives that we need to do the same thing too. We have to stop being moved. I'm preaching to myself this morning. If anybody else is getting this, then great. We have to stop being moved by what we see and only be moved by what we believe. Duh. Heaven and earth will pass away, but not my word. How do I know when the word becomes revelation? I'm telling you, there will be a time when you can pinpoint it. Keep feeding on the word. Keep feeding on the word. Keep feeding on the word. Keep feeding on the word until it explodes in your heart. Explodes on the inside. You'll know that you know that you know. Did you know that when you got born again? When you prayed the prayer of salvation, did you know that you know that you know I'm born again? Yes, you know. It's the same thing. You speak it, you speak it, you speak it, and all of a sudden, boom, it just explodes. Hallelujah. Last scripture, let's look at an example. Go to Acts chapter 14. Let's watch the word explode in the man's heart. This is what I'm talking about, and this is how you and I need to operate. Acts 14, verse 8. Now at Lystra, a man sat who found it impossible to use his feet. Why? For he was a cripple from birth and had never walked. Crippled from birth, never walked ever. He was listening to Paul as he talked. What was Paul preaching? He is preaching the blessing of Abraham. That's what Jesus preached everywhere he went. He preached the blessing. He's preaching, you don't have to be poor no more. You don't have to be sick no more. So he's listening to Paul as he talked, and Paul gazing intently at him and observing that he had faith to be healed, shouted at him, stand erect on your feet, and he leaped and walked. Praise God. Now, when did this man become crippled? When he was born, right? So for this man from birth to adulthood, let's say at the minimum adulthood was 18. So for a minimum of 18 years, it could have been 20, it could have been 25, it could have been 30. We don't know. However long they'd been, he had to be carried everywhere he went. He had never walked a step in his life. Is that correct? Crippled from birth. But the man was what? Listening to Paul. What was Paul preaching? The word. So the word is entering this man's ear gate. He's entering his ear. It's going in. Everyone else is hearing the same word. But all of a sudden, this man chose to accept it. He chose to believe it. All of a sudden, this word explodes on the inside. And this man, instead of wishing and hoping, all of a sudden, now he's believed. Duh. He was listening to Paul as he talked. And Paul, gazing intently at him, observing. Now, what? This is interesting. He observed that this man had faith to be healed. He shouted at him, stand erect on your feet, and he leaped and walked. The man had faith. He had pistis. He was firmly convinced and firmly believing. He had believed, duh, that Jesus had healed him. How do we know he believed, duh? Because he went from a confirming word, listening to a confirming word, all of a sudden it became a commanding word. Amen? Now, how did Paul see his faith? How do you see faith in a crippled man? This man's hearing the word of God, hearing when all of a sudden he said, wait a minute. If Jesus carried my sicknesses, Jesus carried my sorrows, why am I carrying it? Why should I be crippled one more minute in my life? Man, that thing exploded on the inside. So he started doing something. I'm not sure what he was doing. He started moving, or he started massaging his feet, or trying to move his legs with his hand. Paul looks at him, and instantly the Spirit says, this man has faith. He has believed. Duh. Stand up on your feet and walk. Boom. He stands up and walks. Why? Confirming or commanding word. Hallelujah. In a moment of time, this man was fully expecting something to happen. Why? He was putting action to his faith. Hallelujah. And as he began to move, Paul says, man, brother, you have faith. Stand up and walk. Right now, stand up and walk. I can see the faith in you. Can faith be seen? Absolutely it can. What was the crippled man doing? We don't know. But once that word began revelation in his heart, maybe he was starting to move his feet, move his legs, he began to put action to his faith. Paul saw that action to his faith. Look at it again. He was listening to Paul. Faith is coming in the ear gate. It's going into his spirit. And Paul, gazing intently at him and observing that he had faith to be healed, shouted him, stand erect on your feet. And he leaped and walked. When the word becomes revelation in your heart, that at some point you have to put action to your faith. Remember what James tells us? He says, faith without corresponding deeds of action and obedience is what? Dead faith. So when the word becomes pistis, when the word becomes faith, when you become firmly convinced, when you become firmly persuaded, then it's time to put action to your faith. It may be just as simple as speaking a word. It may be more. But inside your spirit, you will know that you know what you're supposed to do. Why? Because you're being led by the Spirit of God. You're being driven and controlled by a spirit. The word explodes on the inside. Now it becomes revelation. The next step is revolution. You know change is coming. Now you speak it. You've believed. You speak. It changes. That's the mechanics, folks. Hallelujah. Did you learn something today? Praise God. Why don't you stand up on your feet? Hallelujah.
This teaching has been brought to you today free of charge by the members and partners of Faith Life Fellowship. We would like to encourage you to help send this word to others at no charge. You can become a word sender today. For more information, please visit our website at faithlifedenver.org.